Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Trey Carey, the lead pastor of Modern Worship. We hope this week's message connects with you and helps you connect with God. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBoro. We also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays, both in the sanctuary and in the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the idea of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. We hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life. Today's week two of a series that we started last week called To Be Continued. And it's kind of a continuation of the series that we did before that. It's a thing that we're doing in our church called Living a Better Story. It's really more than just a series. It's kind of an experience that we're walking through together as a congregation. A few weeks ago, we gave out over $10,000 in fives, tens, and twenties, and we asked people to pray about how they might allow God to use that for something that God had placed on their heart. And so the idea of this series, To Be Continued, is essentially to help us continue, to continue what God is already doing in our life and in our church. And we've looked at a passage of Scripture last week that talks about this a little bit. 2 Timothy 3:14 says this, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of." Last week we talked about some of the patterns that we see that run throughout the Old and New Testament. And throughout the New Testament, this figure named called the Apostle Paul, he reminds people of this idea. He reminds individuals like his young Padawan learner Timothy in this verse that we just read. He also reminds churches like the one in Philippi that we're about to read about. But his message to them is this idea of continuing, that God is at work in and through our lives and in and through our life together, and that God calls us to respond, and our response to the work of God is essentially to work with God, to allow that good work to be continued in our lives and through our lives. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, this is the Apostle Paul again, he says, "And I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." Then in chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, he says, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." To be continued. Last week, the title of the sermon was The Rest of the Story, and the main idea was this: we find the rest of our story in the rest of the story found in God's story. So we're looking how that work of God is to be continued in and through our lives and in and through our stories. We look at the big story that God has been telling and that God is telling and that God continues to tell, and we see how our story connects with that story. Today's sermon's entitled Reflecting on a Better Story. And I've got a little phrase I want you to remember this morning. You can take a picture of it. You can write it down in your bulletin. You may want to text it to a friend. But here's the message. And it's so important for this idea of continuing on this story, this path that God has for us. It's this essential component of what I believe is the Christian life. So here it is. When we can reflect on who we are in light of who God is, then we can reflect the light of who God is in who we are. Let me say that one more time. I know there's a lot in that one little sentence. When we can reflect on who we are in light of who God is, then we can reflect the light of who God is in who we are. We can reflect, when we can think about who God is and who we are in light of and in relationship with God, then we begin to be transformed. And that transformation allows us to share the light of Christ with others, to reflect who God is in who we are in relationships with other people. That's what this idea of living a better story is all about. That's why we're asking you to participate in this experience. Because it's not only about responding to what God is doing in and through our lives and what God is calling us to do, but it's also an opportunity for us to reflect on who God is and who God is calling us to be. Not just at church, but in our lives. And here's why this is so important. I believe this is so important because it's counter to what we normally think about and how we normally kind of go about just our everyday lives and what our culture says life is supposed to look like. I believe that one of the greatest barriers to living a better story is that most of the time, if we're honest, instead of reflecting on who we are in light of who God is, what we do is we reflect on who God is and everything else in the world in light of who we are. In a nutshell, our biggest problem is that our lives, and including our life of faith, is pretty me-centered, if we're honest. Or maybe it's just me. It's me-centered instead of God-centered and consequently others-centered. Let me give you an illustration. In the year 1543, a scientist by the name of Nicholas Copernicus forever changed the way that we view ourselves in light of the universe. Prior to 1543, we believed that the earth was the center of the universe, that essentially everything revolved around us, the sun, the moon, the planets, everything. But in 1543, Copernicus offered humanity a new way of thinking. And he was persecuted for his teachings. And the reason why is because we like the version of the story that says we're the center of the universe, don't we? I mean, if we're honest. But Copernicus showed us the truth that everything, the earth, the moon, the planets, everything revolves around the sun. Now that'll preach. Everything revolves around the sun. We owe a debt centuries later to Copernicus for showing us the truth that we are not the center of the universe, that everything does not revolve around us. Christian author Max Lucado says, what Copernicus did for the earth, God does for our souls. There's this fundamental idea that we must believe if we want to live the life of faith, if we want to live a better story, if the story that God is telling in and through our lives is going to be continued. It's this simple idea that's really hard to wrap our minds and our lives around. And it's essentially this: God is God, and I am not. God is God, and I'm not. Would you say that with me? God is God, and I am not. One more time. God is God, and I am not. Isn't there something kind of freeing about saying that? About saying that I don't have to be the one that brings the sun up in the morning and the sun down at night? That I don't have to keep all the planets revolving and spinning in their axis? Donald Miller, in his book, A Million Miles in a Thousand Years, says that this realization transformed his life. He said that he realized, here's a quote from the book, I was a tree in a story about a forest, and it was arrogant of me to believe any differently. And then he says, the story of the forest is better than the story of the tree. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in our little story that we literally can't see the forest for the tree. But when we realize that our stories are part of a bigger story that God is telling and that God wants to use our story to tell his story, then that's when we start living a better story. So many times we crack under the pressure of trying to be the center of our own universe. And the reason why is that was never the intention for which we were created. It's the difference between the sun and the moon. The sun generates light and energy, but what the moon does, it reflects the light from the sun in proportion to how it's aligned with the sun. Think about that, how it relates to us and our life of faith. We were created in the image of God to reflect God's glory. We were literally created to reflect the sun. And when we do that, then we're living out who God has called us to be and what God calls us to do. And there's this freedom that comes from letting God be God and letting me be me. In his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul talks about this freedom. He says, "Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with an ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." See, Paul uses this metaphor of a veil to represent spiritual blindness, this inability basically to see clearly who God is and who we are. This veil also represents a separation between God and people. And often this separation comes from us not seeing clearly who God is and who we are and who God calls us to be in relationship with God and with others. This separation creates all kinds of problems in allowing God to work in and through our lives. Think about for just a minute what some of the veils are in our lives, just in our everyday lives and life of faith. Some of the big ones that come to mind are words like pride, greed, lust, just to name a few, those things that blind us to who God is and who we were created to be. If you think about it, those are all rooted in this idea of a me-centered universe. Let's take it a step further. Let's think about what are some of the veils in our culture today. Again, the first things that come to mind for me are things like racism, sexism, ageism, classism. There's a lot of isms that we struggle with in the world, and they're all rooted most of the time in this me-centered view of the universe. People that look like me or think like me or act like me, and people who don't. And so what Paul is essentially saying here, the good news that he's lifting up, is that because of the risen Christ, the veil has been lifted. And now through Christ and in Christ, one of Paul's favorite phrases, in Christ, we can see clearly. We can see clearly who God is. We can see ourselves clearly in relationship to God and others. And we can see clearly our place in the universe and the true freedom that is found in Christ. A few chapters later, Paul says, "So from now on, we regard no one from this worldly point of view. Though once we regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here." And the new good news is that there is no separation for those who are in Christ. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There are no longer any of the isms of the old way of doing things for those who are in Christ. In Christ, one theologian said, "The veil of ignorance and death is being lifted so that humanity might live in the truth of God's redeeming love and in the work of God's transforming Spirit." Man, I love that. So Paul's trying to convince this young church in Corinth of this new way of living, this new life that's available in Christ, and how through their life together that this life is to be continued. And the way that he does it is he asks them to reflect on who they are in light of who God is, so that they can reflect who God is in light of who they are. There's one more thing I want to share with you. I want to take you back to the very first verse we read at the beginning of the sermon. Philippians 2 says, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." And then in verse 15 it says, "Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life." The word of life. The good news of Jesus Christ, that God is God and I am not. But because God is God and I am not, God became like us in Christ so that we might become like Christ through the grace of God in ever-increasing glory. That Jesus, the perfect reflection of God's glory, took on all our imperfections so that we might be perfected in his love. So that we might reflect who we are in Christ. Like the moon reflects the sun, our lives reflect his love as we continue to reflect on this better story so that we can reflect this story in the world. We literally become who Jesus said we are, the light of the world, who reflects who Jesus said that he was, the light of the world. John's gospel says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome it." This is who God is, and this is who we are, and this is who God calls us to be. That's what this idea of living a better story is all about. In the packets that we handed out a few weeks ago, if you didn't get one, I'd love to hand one to you after the service. But at the very beginning of the packet, it said, "The key to this experience is to stop, relax, trust God, pray, and reflect." And many of you have reflected, not only on who you are, but who God is calling you to be and what God is calling you to do. And I want to tell you that I'm already bearing witness to how that's being reflected in our church and in our community. It's been reflected in conversations that I've had with some of you about the ideas that you've had of how to take that $5, that $10, that $20 and multiply it and use it for God's work in the world. It was reflected all over social media this week as different folks in our congregation posted pictures and posted fundraising opportunities for ministries like the Journey Home and like Gilda's Club and a host of others. It was reflected in this very room on Wednesday night over in that corner over there during our Wednesday night dinner. There were a few of our members that took their money and baked some cookies and sold them in here, and they raised over $100 for a ministry to people with Alzheimer's. And if you saw their faces, there's no other way to describe it than they were reflecting the glory of God. So I want to encourage you to keep asking, keep reflecting, and keep stepping out in faith, and keep sharing those stories, not only as it relates to this living a better story idea, but what God's doing in and through your lives, because I believe that our church is living proof that when we can reflect on who we are in light of who God is, then we can reflect the light of who God is in who we are. Amen? I want to, as we move into a time of Holy Communion this morning, I want to lead us in an exercise of reflection. And it's one that's so simple but so transformative. And I want to invite you to share in this time with me this morning. But I also want to invite you to take just a few minutes, maybe each day, and do this week. Reflect on this passage of Scripture that kind of captures this conversation that we're having today about the idea that God is God and I am not. It comes from Psalm chapter 46, verse 10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to lead us in kind of a guided time of prayer where we're going to read that scripture together. And I want to invite you to read it out loud with me. And each time we read it, we're going to pause for just a moment And then we're going to take one word out of the sentence, and then we're going to say it again. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I. Be still and on so forth and so on until we get to that last word. Be still and then be. And then we're just going to be. We're going to sit in silence and in the presence of God and reflect on who God is and who we are in light of who God is. And I promise you, if you'll do this, it'll only take maybe 90 seconds every morning. If you'll do that before you start your day, I think it'll be a transforming experience for you and maybe for your relationships and those around you and for your story. So would you pray this verse with me this morning? Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I. Be still and know that. Be still and know. Be still and. Be still. Be. When we can reflect on who we are in light of who God is, then we can reflect the light of who God is and who we are. May it be so in our life and in our church. Amen.